I am so excited today to have Becky and Bridget here from Save Our Children podcast. Thank you so much for coming. Bridget, can you tell me a little about yourself?
I'm sorry, cut out.
Can you tell me a little about yourself?
Yeah, so I am a mother of an 11-year-old daughter, and I play both sides of parenting when it comes to not only being mother, but playing the fatherly role as well. So I kind of, when parenting, I look at all aspects just because I have to be the loving, supporting mom, but then I also have to give like that tough love of the fatherly side. So as far as that aspect, I do only have one daughter, and then I'm a dog mom and now a turtle mom. But yeah, and I was born and raised in Arizona.
You. And Becky, can you tell me about yourself?
Absolutely. I am the mom of two boys, 13 and 10. I live in Arizona, actually just down the street from Bridget, which we found out a couple months ago that we lived by each other. But I'm originally born and raised outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So if you hear the accent, that is where it comes from. I'm a Midwest gal. But I've lived in Arizona now for 18 years, so I'm not sure when that goes away, if ever. I'm not a dog or turtle mom. I'm a hamster mom, I guess, if we're going down that road too. And really, I've been married, next month will be 16 years. So to an amazing husband who puts up with all of this crazy stuff that we're doing and gets out there and fights with me on all of these trafficking things. So I am a blessed woman to have found someone to stand next to me with and fight this great cause.
Wow, that's amazing. So there's some brave men out there, which I really appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have a podcast, Save Our Children. Can you tell me the vision that you have?
Yeah. So our podcast is a kind of an offshoot of our friend Emma's podcast, The Imagination. She decided that she was going to do a survivor series. And so she's been talking to survivors of SRA and pedophilia and child abuse, child sexual abuse. And Bridget and I, as parents, kind of came along and was like, who's talking about what the parents should do? There are so many people who, quote unquote, have been red-pilled over the last year, who have learned about the trafficking, have learned about all of this stuff. But now we don't know what to do with it. We don't know where to go. We don't know how to help our kids, with the exception of keeping them in a bubble, which we never want to do.
Yeah.
What do we want to do? So Bridget and I, with Emma's help, kind of came up with this idea of, let's talk to these survivors under the idea of, how do we help other parents teach and educate their kids so that we can start stopping, we can begin to stop some of this child trafficking and other things that are going on.
And it wasn't just as far as like the parents as well. We wanted to touch on all aspects of everybody is a survivor of something. And
yep.
Childhood trauma, or has been through a family loss, or has had to deal with some sort of trauma in their life. So for us, we wanted to cover all backgrounds and really just be a voice for the community and raise awareness, as well as parents, or even not as parents, if I'm an aunt and I have nieces and nephews, we have family members who have kids, or the children at school, whether if you're helping the community and different things like that. So it's not just for parents, it's for everybody and anybody, and just really raising awareness and learning from all walks of life and all aspects of life as we go throughout our journeys, and everybody has different stages in their journey. So just all really coming together and learning from one another in a no judgment zone, and just spreading love and awareness.
I was just interviewed by you for your podcast, which was a lot of fun. And the energy that you have and the passions that you have. And I felt it was really important to have you on my podcast, because we need to also save our kids. from getting sex trafficked and getting into SRA, because some of the people that end up in sex trafficking get sold to SRA groups. Yeah. So there's a lot of crossover between the two. Now, we were talking numbers just a little bit ago. Can you, Bridget, catch us up a little bit of numbers of kids that go missing?
So I want to touch on the UK first. First, we were actually just on a podcast over in the UK, and just alone, the Home Office of National Statistics noted that the UK is the most prominent country, say, of origin for trafficked children. 4,946 children reported missing or trafficked in 2020 in the UK alone. And for the US, the average age of entry into sex trafficking is 13 years old. And 55% of the victim first meet their trafficker online, which we live in such a generation of social media, which plays a huge role in our children's life today, as well as 300K youth at risk to be exploited per year. And it's a $150 billion industry, and it's a global issue. It's not just our country.
Yeah, I did some math, earlier this year, that based on the number of kids that go missing, and I think, Lisa, you said some around 300,000 per year go missing, and that ends up being a third or a quarter of all of the kids born in the U.S. every year. And it's obviously not that the kids that are born are missing, but it's the same. We're replacing that many kids and we're losing them. And unfortunately, a lot of it has to do with the CPS or the kids that go into some sort of state or federally funded area, because they're easy and they're not tracked very well. And so, although yes, we do find that kids are abducted out of stores, that things happen that way, I think the statistic is something like 80 or 90% come from areas where they are under Child Protective Services or something similar to that. So that's really where we're seeing a lot of our missing kids come from. That's no excuse. That's just the reality of it.
Well, and there's nobody advocating for them.
Exactly.
They disappear and they just don't find them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm sure there's people that feel bad about that.
Yeah.
But like, where are these kids going? This is a serious, serious problem. I know that a friend of mine, when she heard my story from the area that I grew up in, that she was a foster parent, and one of the girls that came into her home, she was told that she tells stories, so don't listen to her. She's got mental problems. But she said, Lisa, she was telling me about SRA. It was SRA. And she said, so I told, because they asked what she was telling me. So I told them, they immediately took her out of my home, put her in a mental institution, and she ended up dying of a drug overdose.
Yeah, they actually talk about if your child is trafficked, the life expectancy is 7 years. And that doesn't mean life expectancy that after 7 years, they will let them go. That means that they will be dead in 7 years. And I think the most shocking statistic, if you look at those 300,000 kids that get taken or are kidnapped, missing every year, 1% of those kids make it out.
Right. We've talked on, you know, this is a channel about SRA. So we have talked about kids that get killed in these rituals. So there's living sacrifice. There's also those that get actually killed. That these kids in the foster system can disappear because they are killed by these groups. No one's ever going to know.
Right.
Again, there's these kids that are disappearing. So like the number for 2020 from the FBI's National Crime Information Center, and I want to say the number because it's so important.
Yeah.
365,348 for 2020. That's 7,306 per state a year. Now, the year before that, it was even higher, 2019 is 421,394. So that was 8,427 estate average. And I wanted, like, I was looking at that number. Should I round it? And it's like, you can't round it because each kid is so important. And when they disappear, something bad happened. Kids aren't going to just disappear. If they were disappearing and, oh, they show up in 10 years, found out they made their way through college somewhere, you don't hear those stories.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the unfortunate part is that our own law enforcement, these kids are taken. And I mean, if you ever have heard the stories, I'm blessed not to have to have heard, to have to go through this, but they'll make you wait 24 hours before they'll do a missing person. And it's like, in 24 hours, you know how far you can get away in 24 hours? And they just make these assumptions that, well, they're just 14 years old, they're going to run away, or that's just what they want to do. No, they're children. And we've got to start remembering that kids that are in their teens are not almost adults, they're children.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. So you're doing a lot to try to protect kids from being exploited, from being sex trafficked, but also you're also working on helping kids in homes that are maybe being sexually abused by someone even within their homes. So we were talking earlier about ways to protect our kids with the internet, with the phones, with all the apps, with all the areas of intersections that they have socially. How do we protect them?
So one thing that we've done is we've always remained transparent with our kids. So when it comes to social media and having those uncomfortable conversations, a great video, and we'll share the link as well, is we watched a YouTube, and it was where a mom goes undercover as an 11-year-old, and she is having this conversation through the online social media apps, and she breaks down how quick a predator reaches our children. And it's not just, hey, like, you're pretty. It's literally the sexual content is there, from groping the penis to putting it inside you. Like, the details that they go into in these DMs is a whole nother level. A lot of them too is the fact that they're young and they're virgins. So a lot of the predators will often pretend to be, and even there's females where they use females to groom and to kind of open that conversation or act as if they're that kid's age. And then they take it to a whole nother level of conversation. Well, if you're not being attentive to your kid, if you're not listening to your kid, and you're not giving them that attention and unconditional love, they're going to look for it elsewhere. If they ask you a question and you're too busy on your phone or going through social media yourself, your kid isn't going to have a soft place to land. And so oftentimes kids turn to these apps like TikTok and the gaming apps. You can chat with people in these back channels, and oftentimes you don't know what's on the other side of the phone. So we like to raise awareness by showing our kids these videos and saying, look, I'm not being the bad parent by just saying, oh, you can't have social media. I'm going to show you why and examples of how people are using it to lure the kids in, and the subliminal messages all throughout our TV shows and different things like that. And I know I'll let Becky touch on it, but another app that we often talk about too is Bark.
Yeah. Bark, if you have not heard of that app, is, I want to say it's about $10, $15 a month, depending on what you have, but it's really probably one of the best apps I've ever seen. And thank God for companies out there who are really trying to get to the forefront of these issues. But what happens is you actually download the app on your computer and your phone, and then it connects out to your kid's device. It'll also connect to anything they're on. So if they have an Instagram account, if they have a YouTube page that they watch, if they have Snapchat, or if they're on any of those apps, it'll actually go out and read for you everything that's happening. So being a parent, it's a full-time job to just read, let's be honest, 99% nonsense that they're just talking about with their friends. But if there are things that are violence, bullying, sexual, or I think drugs, those all get alerts. So I will get alerts weekly, sometimes even daily, that says, hey, you need to check out what your kid is looking at or what they're talking about or what they're seeing. And so you can go in. And of course, when they're younger, you can make it a lot more strict. And so even I got an alert once that when I told my son to take an ibuprofen, it said that it was a drug alert. Well, I mean, no, it was me, but I appreciate me being able to look at it and say, nope, that's okay, versus not seeing it at all. Mm-hmm. And so it'll go through and it'll look at YouTube titles, and if it has something like, it'll say Nerf gun, it'll come back as violence, like alerting you to things. And it's just that wonderful thing as a parent to be able to just touch in with your kids and be like, hey, I'm watching what you're doing. And I can come to them and say, I got an alert that this was happening. Tell me about this video. And they can be like, no, that wasn't really what it was about. Or you can watch it yourself and see what happens. So one of the things, and I want to kind of give a story about Bark, and we do, this is not an ad. We get nothing from them. I've just seen the amazing work that they do, and I absolutely love it. My 10-year-old, who I will admit here in public is not a saint. He was texting with a couple of other friends in his class, especially since the first quarter they were online with the pandemic, and we got stuck being at home. But when he got back in school, he made sure to get these group of friends, and they were talking. And I got an alert from Bark on a couple of different instances of their chat. And one of them was that one girl came out and was saying that she was gonna find them and kill the other people and do all this like horrific stuff. No idea where it came from, but still it was awful. Then they all started to try and one up each other. And my son came out and said, well, you never knew anything about me. I wanted to kill myself. Now, thank God for me, he was just trying to one up his friends, but he had to go talk to the counselor. We had to go have all of those conversations. And one of the and that's absolutely serious, but one of the even more serious things that happened was one of the girls in this kind of one-upsmanship that they were all trying to do said, well, you don't even know, my stepdad abuses me. And I saw it and I didn't know, okay, did he really? Were they just all trying to be like, did he yell at her and now she's calling it abuse, whatever? Wasn't up for me to decide. And I actually went, I sat there for a while. I was like, I don't even know what to do with this. If I was a parent, I would want to know, but I also don't want to be the parent who's like, hey, do you know your kid's talking about killing other kids over here? Like, because mine's no angel. He's swearing and talking about killing himself. So I ended up going to the teacher. I went to their teacher and I said, I don't even know where to start with this, but this is the information I got. She took it to the assistant principal. All of the parents learned about it. Since then, there has not been those kind of conversations being had on texts and different things, which I think everyone appreciated that. But the best news is that this little girl got to get some help, and they found out that this dad was doing stuff that we didn't know about and nobody else in her family knew about. Now, coming from secondhand knowledge, I've heard that he's in jail. I don't actually have proof of that, but if that is what came of that, having this app and paying that amount on every month on my phone, I will absolutely pay it, because that could have gone way worse, and it could be way worse because I don't know what type of abuse she was going through.
Right. And if you haven't listened, you know, or if you go, oh, come on, they're just guys, you know, it's very easy to throw off what our kids are saying to us.
Yep.
We don't understand it, or maybe we don't want to understand it. I don't want to get involved in that. And we give a lot of kids then are vulnerable because we won't step into that. And that's why what you're doing is so important, because you're raising this awareness. Bark, that's a wonderful app. Everybody needs to have that when they have little kids. How can the pedophiles access the kids actually through these apps? Do they just start talking to them? They're like going around on the internet looking for kids, talking about kids' things. How do you know?
Unfortunately, because of social media, and I will use Instagram and Twitter for an example, we have a society who protects pedophiles. So there's no real regulations and no security measure as far as anyone can say and make up a fake profile and say and put who they want to be, create a whole different image, and they can access these kids just as if you were to open a new Instagram and say, oh, I'm a 10-year-old, but really 32-year-old, but I'm targeting this profile at children. And the other things that to look for on social media, especially these two apps, is there are currently children being prostituted out on these websites or on these apps. How to look for that would be by the provocative pictures. And we live in a day and age where everyone goes off of likes and viewership. Even TikTok, the TikTok dancing for our kids is huge because everyone's like, oh, well, you know, it's just a trend and it's just a dance. But the things that they're grooming to teach these kids to do in a dance, or you see moms twerking with their daughters, or you have songs like WAP, and I'm going to say, excuse my French, because I don't know if you can cuss on this one, but for those of you who don't know the song WAP, it stands for wet ass pussy. So you have little girls on TikTok and kids on TikTok dancing to this song in very provocative ways that no kid should do it, let alone with their parent. So, but it gets likes and it's loved. So the sexualization, the hypersexualization of kids nowadays is at an all-time low because the kid, or at an all-time high, sorry, because the kids are being targeted by the pedophiles and there's no real profile to say, oh, well, that's what a pedophile looks like, because there's every social class it touches. So they first communicate, either how it typically happens is they'll either like a picture and they'll give them that attention. And a kid might be in their vulnerable stage where they just want that attention. So now it goes to, oh, they liked my picture. Oh, they liked another one. Or they shared my TikTok. Now they have this pickup speed where they have the following. They have that it's cool to be trending. So now you just influence them to do more. So now that person goes to their DM and says, hey, you're really pretty, or gives them that attention, and they start sexting and send me a nude, send me a picture of this and I'll send you this. And then you have where guys think it's okay to send dick flicks. So now you have both people sharing those images and they don't even know one another. Then what it leads to is, oh, well, meet me here. And oftentimes they will meet up when they don't know this stranger. So different things like that, and learning your child's terminology. Our kids don't communicate through words. They use Bemojis and emojis. So just knowing, and even if you don't want to pay for Bark, go and follow them on Instagram. They will give you so much information as far as when it comes to even like the emojis. It'll show, like, for example, do you know how kids use this word? And it says plug, and it shows you literally what you would think is a plug. And in kids terminology, that's a plug for drugs. And they use different things like a snow, like the little snowflake, or which could lead to drugs again, and coke, and different terminology that the kids are using have symbolism behind it. So just knowing and researching what that means is important, so your kid, one, you can relate to your kid, but then also once they realize they can relate to you, there's a soft place to land. Sorry, my dogs are barking like crazy.
And the other thing to realize is although yes, pedophiles can absolutely come in and contact your kids, whether it's through social media or through the gaming apps that they have. I mean, you see the Minecraft and the Roblox for the boy moms out there, that they have all of the chats that are in there. And most of the time they're benign. They're just kids talking to kids, but it's the ones that are older, the ones who are trying to find the kids who maybe need that extra friend, the one who the girls are kind of in that awkward age and they don't feel pretty, or the boys are kind of in that awkward age and they don't feel cool or handsome. And they're trying, and then all of a sudden it's, wow, I really think you're pretty, or wow, you're really a cool kid. And now it's like, oh, I have a new friend. And the main thing that they do is that they try then to isolate you. And so they'll try to say, oh, well, you don't need to talk to your other friends, or you don't need to tell your mom about me. We're just going to have this own chat over here. And you don't need, instead of going into your text messages so your mom can see us, let's go into this vanishing mode, something else that happens over here. And so they'll start to pull those kids away. And then, and it's a very, very long process. This isn't like they talk to you on a Monday and by Friday they're meeting up. They talk to you in January, and probably by the next January, they've gotten your kid to feel comfortable enough with them that they're like, hey, if I meet you at this corner, do you think you can sneak out of your house and go do this? And then they say, hey, I gave you a ride. And this is how it starts. They start to get into trafficking is, I gave you a ride from your house all the way to this party or all the way to the mall. You now owe me money for gas. Well, if you are 12, 13, 14, where are you going to have money for gas? You don't have a job. You usually don't have any money. So they say, okay, then I just need you to do X, Y, Z. And now these kids are stuck in a perpetual thing. So we have to make sure we are educating our children. We have on so many levels that this is even a thing, that it's real, that we start looking at body sovereignty and secrets. Whatever happens to you, you better tell me. And not that I'm going to be mad at you, but they're going to tell you that, nope, this is just between us. If anybody ever touches your body, that is not you, that is not, even as I want to say is not your parent, because that happens poorly too, that familial pedophilia happens. But if you are uncomfortable, you need to start telling people, and we need to make sure that kids have the place to talk, have that education, have that positive place, because they will find it somewhere.
Right. We make our kids vulnerable. It was vulnerable, then there's all these places that the pedophiles can catch them, and the sex traffickers and the SRA groups.
Absolutely. And we do it to ourselves as well. And one of the things Bridget was talking about, we all like the likes. We all want that dopamine hit of people liking what we're posting. So how many times, and this is another thing that pedophiles do, how many times do we have that first bath, that first birthday, the potty training, all of those pictures that we post on social media, and then we hashtag it. So now we have baby's first bath, potty training, gymnastics, ballet, whatever we hashtag. Well, guess where those hashtags go and those pedophiles use? They can now see your child now going to the bathroom for the first time. Guess what's on usually on those pictures? They now see a brand new baby getting a bath. Guess what's on those pictures? We now see the gymnastics girls that are 8, 9, 10 and their little bitty outfits that are so adorable. Guess who's looking at those? And I was one of those parents like, nah, it's not that bad. And I'll post this and do that. And then you start to learn this stuff and you're like, no, really, it's that bad. You have to be careful with what you are posting on social media, because the people who you don't want to see it are the ones seeing it.
Right. And another thing too off of that is the kids are so innocent. So a lot of times they're just answering the questions. They're taught not to be rude, to answer these questions. So they'll tell them what school they're going to or who their friends are. So now this pedophile is building this profile of who their friends are. They're figuring out what school they are. Sometimes they'll park across the street and wait at parks or their house, and they'll follow them to see the behavior and like their schedule and the routine. Another thing is the labels we place on the back of our vehicles. Whether you're a dog mom and you have four dogs, if you have four kids, boys, girls, those are a trafficker's best friend. Because now if they're in a hurry and they're trying to snatch a kid, they're looking for those signs. Oh, this mom, she's a single mom. They're watching where you're going in, what kids are with you. And they pick up on all those little things. And as far as like, there's a sticker for everything. And so people often forget that those are traffickers' best friends. And when somebody told us that, we're like, whoa, like, because you put honor roll student, what school your kid goes to. And the trafficker learns so much about you and your family without you even knowing that they know and have a whole little bio on you.
Right. So let's go to the other side now. Let's say a child is getting abused. What kind of signs can a parent look for?
So oftentimes what you'll see is unfortunately, it's the full spectrum. We've talked to survivors that they've gone back and they've said, hey, did you notice anything different between this time and this time? And it was no, we never knew. However, there are some signs. Changes in attitude. If your normally very sweet daughter is all of a sudden becoming more than just a preteen teenage girl and they're getting really violent or really depressed or whatever, that's something to look into. Becomes more than just the normal puberty hormone changes. If your child comes home with something that you know they cannot afford, a new Xbox, jewelry, clothing that they can't afford, more likely than not, someone bought that for them in exchange for something else. If they're gone a lot, if they're really secluded, like you can't see their phone, you can't see what they're doing, that's one of the things. The last one is bruises. Are you seeing things on the body? Are you seeing bruising? Are you seeing tattoos that got added or branded? Are you seeing different things on the body that you know were not there before, to kind of just start looking and being like, that's not okay. What's going on? And it's important for us to tell our kids about these sort of things because their friends very often could have those symbols. And I know Bridget talks a lot about, and I'll let her talk about a lot of the idea of the sugar daddies on campus at colleges and what happens there.
And before I go into the sugar daddies and all of that, I would also say, look for signs of the body or the wrist and the arms, like where you would least expect it. A lot of times they will turn to cutting, and they'll turn to isolation. So look at those signs, as well as social media. One way to look at it is the locks on your phone. If your kid gets immediately defensive and upset to share the lock on the phone, then there's obviously something they're hiding. There's something they don't want you to see. So that's a huge one, as well as if they're using apps like Snapchat. So for parents who don't know, Snapchat is, and Instagram now has it, is a vanish mode. So once you post it, it will vanish. It doesn't last more than 24 hours. If you hit save, it doesn't last more than 24 hours. But it will typically, in the DMs, it will go where you can send a nude or you can have any conversation. The minute you hit send, that person will see it and it'll go away. So there's no real tracking to it. And then there's also a private lock inside Snapchat where you can have like a save section, and put it with a pass lock. So even if you look at your kid's Snapchat, and I'm going to open the app just so I can tell you how to do it. But if you look at your kid's Snapchat and like you just open the app and you obviously see the DMs and it's like the little note tab on the left side. If you touch on that and you just see normal conversations, then you're just like, oh, okay, my kid's having a normal conversation. But when you touch on like the little profile picture in the left corner, like you can see where it says add to my stories, and there's also an add snap map. So it tracks your kids as well, and it shows everyone in your area who they're like, anyone in your area, where they're at all times. But then there's also a private section where if you click on, let me see, click on the little people, and there's a private section in there, and you have to enter the passcode. So you have to know that passcode, and oftentimes that's where the nudes are and the private conversations they don't want anyone to know. So there's always a hidden app inside the app, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
As well as like in the gaming, you'll see if you get this many points, you can go to this next room. Well, each of those take you to different levels and you can have different conversations, and they're targeted in there as well. When it comes to the sugar daddies, especially that you will often see on the high school college campus, they will lure the kids by saying, oh, well, a lot of them don't have money and just want trying to get help paying for schooling. So a lot of times you will see it at the sororities and the frat parties. So what happens is they will go to these, they have people our age and young teens that are 18, 19 years old who are working with what are known as handlers, and they're recruiting. Or like at the club scene, oh, come sit with us, bring all your girls, and we'll give you a free bottle. You get free bottle service. You just have to look, sit here and look pretty and have a good time, because you're just arm candy to the person who bought out the table. So oftentimes you will see there's always something for free. When there's always something for free, you're the product.
Yep.
So when you go to these frat parties or to the clubs, there's always a party. There's always an after party after the main party. And then after the after party, there's always an after party. So what happens there is they will, one, a lot of times is put a pill or like a Molly inside the bottle. Well, you don't know what's in that. And so often the times the girls are getting drugged. It happens with males too. And they're getting drugged. So then by the time they reach the after party, or they're feeling a little bit not like themselves and loose and they're having a good time, then by the time they get to the party, the after party, they get raped, or they will usually get trains ran on them, and then they black out. Then they wake up like, whoa, what happened to me? Their friends are no longer there. And then that's when they're usually taken down, like they could be trafficked. So that's just a couple instances where, or they're given like money in return to be a the sugar daddies will give these females money to be like an arm candy. So again, it's just paying the different bills where girls and guys will do anything. And a lot of it is just watching for those signs in their faces, especially when it comes to drugs. Your face tells everything when it comes to the acne. And learn, and we can share a clip of it as well with you to link below, but esthetician will be your best friend when it comes down to breaking down your face and like the hormones. Like if you have acne here, this is what it means. If you have acne, usually if you have acne down here, it's hormonal. Right here, it's usually like from your, yeah.
Yeah.
And then usually from right here, it's from your dirty phone or like bedding or your food. And like it ties to your body and what you're taking in and all the toxins, and then like forehead and like stress. So it breaks down all of that. So just even knowing that those signs exist and are telling you different things to look for on your kid as well.
That's really important, because we have to assume that not all our kids are going to be upfront with us and everything that's going on. I mean, we want to be the safe place that they land. And every time someone touches you, you're going to tell me every time someone approaches you. But even with that, they're going to still step out sometimes into unsafe areas, or sometimes because they're with other kids.
Right.
They don't want to stand up and say, oh, I'm going to be the square and not go. So in those cases, education is always going to come down as really, really important. Explaining, having the hard conversations. What is sex trafficking? You know, how are you vulnerable? What is SRA? What is involved? How do we stay out of it? If people are exhibiting these sorts of risky behaviors, drugs, you know, alcohol, doing the paying money for stuff where you're the commodity, explaining what you're the commodity means and how we're going to stay out of that. And it comes down to keeping our kids, and this is an SRA podcast, ultimately, I want all our kids safe from SRA. Now, sometimes I've had Jennifer on last week. I've had Samantha Baldwin on. I've got some more moms coming on whose very young kid started disclosing some sexual things to them. And they were able to hone in on that. I was thinking about my own story that I was, when I was 7 years old, tried to disclose to my mom that my dad was sexually abusing me, and she cut it right down. Nope. He's just checking you for vaginal infections. I think kids at least once will try to reach out to their mom to tell them if something is happening. And we got to make sure that we zero in. Everything else stops at that moment and we listen. Like, I had a friend tell me that she had a guy expose himself to her on her way home from school one day. And the way she said it was he had a really long belly button. And because she was really little, she shouldn't have been on her way home. It was his penis, but she didn't understand that. She didn't know what that was. Right. So, like, sometimes our kids will tell us something that's just really weird. Yep. In those really weird moments, listen. Listen mm-hmm. to your kids. Listen to what they're saying to you.
And I think that we also, that is so, so important. And I think we need to also listen in the not weird times when they're saying, Mom, can you just watch this video? And you're like, that is the absolute last thing I want to do is watch this video with you. But you never know what's going to come out of just sitting next to them. You never know what listening to their friend, their 15 minute long story of a 5 minute thing that happened at recess. You never know what's going to come of that. And if you can listen in the mundane, then they'll trust you to tell you, and then you can have the opportunity to listen when it's a little more serious.
Right.
And there's a couple more things with that too. When it comes to listening, is listen to understand versus listen to respond, and know when you're listening to your kid. Don't immediately take in that, even if they did something wrong, yes, they're discipline your children, but at the same time, take a step back, allow them to get it out, don't make assumptions, and allow them to express what it is. Because if you automatically just freak out and they think they're going to get in trouble, now you just shut it down. They're not going to want to talk to you. And another thing is, if you had a bad day or somebody made you mad in, I don't know, at work or road rage, different things like that, don't project your day onto your children. So when your child comes to you to express something, you might not want to hear it and you might already be frustrated. So you're more than likely, when they tell you something or if they did something wrong, they're going to get that harsh of the discipline. Where if you sit back and listen and just kind of, okay, or even if you say, acknowledge it and say, right now, just give me a moment and then let's talk about it in a minute or two, just so you can decompress from your day and then let that go and then now have this conversation with your kid. So the projection is huge, because the energy and what your kids can feel as well plays a huge role in if they're going to be comfortable to even talk to you. And oftentimes too, we just don't believe our kids or don't want to hear it. And we will always defend the adult, but it's like, why would my kid say this? As well as telling your kid what it is. Don't make, like for penis, don't make a special word, wee wee, or don't make the special terminology for it. Because oftentimes if they did get sexually abused or something did happen and they were to go to court and they were like, well, did they touch your penis? No, because that's not what they knew it as. That's not what it was called. So now that person can re-enter the community and go do it to somebody else. So it goes back to, again, the education and the awareness of all of it.
Right. I think our mental health as society in general is due to, and I'm not a therapist, not anything, but just my observation is due to people not listening and believing what's happening, even on the lowest level. I grew up with high levels of anxiety. My mother has anxiety. My sons have anxiety. And because I have been able to fix mine, I've been able to help them. And so been able to like, and to, for them to say like, oh, I'm really nervous about zombies. Well, I know as a mom that that is not anything we really need to be worrying about. Well, maybe, but really need to be worrying about. But instead of saying that is stupid, in his 10-year-old brain, that is very important and very scary. So we oftentimes have conversations about, okay, so how do you think they're going to get in the house? Where do you think they're coming from? Like, let's walk the story all the way to the end and debunk the things that could happen so that you aren't thinking that way. But we've got to start with the belief part. If somebody says, and especially like these little kids, if they're coming to you and they're saying things that are so descriptive, like Lisa, like you said, I saw these men in hoods and I was on a table and there were candles. Where would they have come up with that? Like, that's not, I'm playing on the playground with my imaginary friend and we're playing sports. That is detailed items that would not be something someone could just have in their imagination at 7 years old.
Right. It's absolutely true. And we need to also listen to the kids and encourage them. And if you don't feel comfortable around somebody, even if you can't tell me why, then I don't feel comfortable around them either. And say, I am proud of you for listening to yourself. You know, let's check into this. We, you know, there's so many of us that is never taught. We, you know, we're vulnerable to everybody around us because we're never allowed to call anything out. We're not allowed to stop anything. So with our kids, we got to make sure that they're listening to those red flags going off inside of them and that we're backing them up so that they can trust themselves. Because sometimes you don't know why you're not comfortable around somebody.
Yeah.
But I've found over time that person will reveal somehow who they really were. And oops, I should have listened to that in the first place. So let's teach our kids to do that.
Absolutely.
And teaching your kids what emotions are and what it means to them. So like anxiety has been one that my daughter's often said with this whole past year and pandemic. And I'm like, what does anxiety mean to you? Where are you getting that from? Let's talk about this. And so I have her give me her version and then say, okay, well, what are you feeling? What's making you feel like this? And so we'll break it down that way. But then also if your child, don't force anything out of them. When they're ready to talk about it, they'll talk about it. And oftentimes too, a lot of kids have so much going on in their head. So don't force that. If they don't feel comfortable talking about it, find other ways to have those conversations. Let it go through art or singing or journaling. But when you do that, take them to the store and let them buy a journal. Let them pick it out. That way they feel a connection to it, and then they're more likely to do it. They can grasp on and cling on to that journal and that notebook. And don't go through their journal and then come and question them, because now you just invaded their privacy. So now they're going to be upset and not want to have those conversations with you. So ways to go around that would be, oh, I really like that picture. Or what did you draw today? Or what did you learn? Like, how are you feeling? So different questions. It's about how you ask it. And for me, another thing I often turn to is, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. So that will change a whole demeanor in your conversation and really tell you how that conversation's going to go. But we can't always blame our kids either. Parents have to be accountable. We have to hold ourselves higher and even more accountable than the kids, because oftentimes when you think that your kids aren't listening, they're listening to you and they're watching. So even if you don't, even if you tell them, oh, don't do this and that, it's like, but you just told me I can't do it, but I see mom over here taking selfies and posting TikToks, twerking on social media. So they're like, well, why can you do it? Like, so you, in your house, you're now creating, well, this is okay. This is what's normal. And you often see little kids on their phones, and as young as 2-3 years old, you see them knowing how to take, like, you'll see them like this and taking selfies. Well, what I think of that is just look at, even though, just look up and learn the words subconscious and consciousness. So even though your kid is doing that right now and they're only two, just imagine when they get to 18. Okay, well, social media makes it okay to post these things. Now it's going to get me likes. And then they turn to an OnlyFans and prostitution, and because now it's cool, you're getting this money. I don't have to go to school. I don't have to do that, because I can get rich by looking cute and being hot on the internet and getting groomed. So they get groomed at a young age, and by the time they're 18, they're turning to the trafficking route because social media makes it cool.
You make it and give us the ability to parent in this current culture that's very dangerous. And I really appreciate these very practical tips. Like, these are doable things that parents can do. And I love that. So I want my listeners to be able to connect with you. How can they find you?
Yeah, we have, our podcast is Save Our Children. It is on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. We do an episode every Monday. We're still pretty new. I think we're on episode 7. So give us a little grace. We're getting better every time, but we're getting there. I am on Instagram. My handle is Becky_standbysurvivors. And we also have a Standby Survivors Instagram page as well.
And then on Instagram, I'm @beautybyb_4 times. But honestly, the easiest way would just to be on our podcast page at Save Our Children Podcast. We link everything that we're doing on there, all of our bios on our personal pages, as well as our podcast page. It links to not only our pages, but the website, the Survivor Series. It will have Lisa's page as well, and really a whole community of everyone that we're working with to raise awareness, and different websites and different things you can turn to for research. And if you have any questions, definitely feel free to reach out to us, and we will always respond. So yeah, there's many ways to find us.
Leave us with some assurance, reassurance to parents that we can navigate this.
I wish I had all of the assurance in the world, but what I am living off of personally is that I know God, my kids know God, and we go to church and we have our faith and we make sure we pray. I also make sure that I educate my boys about what's happening. So they know that I go out and do rallies. They know that we do this podcast. They know we have a website. They know about what it is that we're doing, so that not only are they aware for themselves, but they're aware for their friends whose parents are not aware. And so that's kind of what I'm clinging to, is God has it in his hands, but for the rest of it, I'm going to educate them as much as I can on all the stuff that we have.
Yeah, I would say education and transparency are number one, but also unconditional love, and having that and creating that solid foundation in your household and having those uncomfortable conversations allows those conversations to even happen before somebody else can get to them. And just staying true to who you are, embracing your child and not sticking them in the box, in this box that society often places us in. So just really staying true to yourself and speaking your truth, and just let go of all of the labels, because that will really be one thing. Once you let all of that go, you see the world in a different way. And yes, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have emotional roller coasters, and your world will get flipped upside down. You will cry. There will be those. I mean, we all got through where we are today by those emotional roller coasters, but know that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and just spread love, spread kindness, and really be there to reach out for anyone in your community and get involved, whether it be talking to your neighbor, talking to your kid, anything that makes you feel comfortable. Go find the missing kids in your area, put them up as if a dog was lost in your neighborhood. And people will often put up the missing dog signs, but when it comes to a missing child, they won't talk about it. So just different little things like that. And just going in really love and being unconditionally loved plays a huge role in a child's life.
Well, Save Our Children podcast is the place to go to learn how to keep your kids safe and share it so other people can get educated, because the more education that's out there, the more kids that we're going to get saved from sliding into sex trafficking and SRA. Thank you so much, Becky and Bridget. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having us. I appreciate it.